Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store at Lowe's.com for more details.
Bite into a stacked sandwich made with Hero Bread, and the only thing you'll think is delicious. You won't think it has up to 19 grams protein, 11 to 32 grams of fiber, or just 0 to 5 grams net carbs. But it does. Hero Bread. No compromises, just loaves, buns, tortillas, bagels, and noodles packed with flavor. Right now, get 10% off at hero.co with code IHEART. That's hero.co, code IHEART. All figures per serving of Hero Bread. See nutrition facts on hero.co.
On the second day, my fiancé asked my mom for the ring, so she knew he planned to propose that day. We told her we were going to the waterfall and would be back later. I had no idea what was coming. The moment he proposed, my mother suddenly showed up with her friends and my father, all cheering. Before we could leave, my mother stopped us. She had already set up a surprise engagement party with her friends and champagne.
Come on, Mom.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Here Comes the Drama. I'm your host, Krista Innes, and today I'm joined by the one and only Cliff Notes gal. She's the internet's go-to for breaking down wild and viral stories in a very entertaining and quick way. So if you've ever needed a quick, hilarious recap of some messy drama happening online, she is your go-to person. In this episode, we talk about how she started summarizing long TikTok drama and the moment her content really took off. She also shares a wedding story of her own that happened on her own big day. And then we react to a wild listener submission that will genuinely have you saying, just forget it all and please elope. So grab your drink, get comfy, and let's get into it because this episode is packed with lots of, you guessed it, drama. Hi, welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
Thanks for coming on. So you are the Cliff Notes gal, and I know many people know of you as the Cliff Notes gal, but how did you get started? Who are you and how did you get into summarizing these long stories? I remember the first... Well, and I can talk about it later, but the first time I saw you, it was just like, this is saving me so much time. You cover all these amazing stories into a quick little summary. So I know that was
so,
a long way.
Yeah. Showing my age here, but it happened during COVID. I did the typical, like, I needed a break from being bored in the house, which when I say that, I think of that song off the top of my head, bored in the house and I'm bored in the house. Yeah. I would take 20 minutes every day as my lunch break. I would go learn a new dance and I would do it and I would record it. And one of the days I decided I didn't want to learn a new dance. I was just going to scroll and find stories. And I don't remember what the story was about, but there was this long, drawn out story that I watched for probably, I think I watched probably 10 videos because that's back when like videos had to be shorter on TikTok. And by the time I got to the end, I was like, I just wasted 15 minutes of my lunch break when this person could have said it in a minute. Mm-hmm. And I was so annoyed. And so I stitched one of the parts and just said, this is what the story was about. Here's the whole story in less than a minute. And I spoke really, really fast and it blew up. I mean, blew up millions of views when all of my videos were just like me doing dance trends because I am a dancer as well. I did ballet, did point and lyrical for 14 years. I do hip hop now and love to dance. But yeah, it blew up. And then I didn't know what to have as my name at that point. It was called something else, Southern something, I think. And I was like, y'all, what do I call myself? And I still have the screenshot during COVID of someone saying, well, you're doing the Cliff Notes. And since you're like Southern gal something, you should just be the Cliff Notes gal. And I have yet to repost that clip and I need to because I have the screenshot telling that person like, thank you so much. So I became the Cliff Notes gal. And so showing my age, some people don't know what Cliff Notes are.
Really?
Teenagers today, they see her and they have no idea who the Cliff Notes or what the Cliff Notes is. So for anybody watching this, back in the day when I was in high school and college, if there was a book that you had to read and you had a test coming up on it, You wanted to get the shorter version of it so you didn't have to read the 500 pages. So there was this yellow and black book that existed for every book out there called Cliff's Notes, because his name was Cliff, I think, and it was Cliff's Notes. And that shortened the story. And so you were able to read the Cliff's Notes to get the shorter version of the book and then go take the test on it.
Oh my God. I do
the shorter versions of TikTok stories.
So I just learned something from you because I remember Cliff Notes.
Yeah, it's Cliff's.
Cliff's Notes. Okay. But I remember it as a website in high
school. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I don't remember.
See, that even shows my age even more.
I was like, I don't remember an actual book, but maybe I'm like, I don't know, thinking of the wrong thing. Because I do remember people using Cliff's Notes for books in high school.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I did. I don't really remember. I just remember hearing about Cliff's Notes. And yeah, that's wild. But I was talking about to someone recently how, like, I remember doing book reports in like middle school and high school and having to actually pull out like all the encyclopedias and reference it. And I'm like, kids these days, they can just Google or whatever they're using, AI. It's like,
yes,
get all their stuff. And I'm like, are they even learning? I don't even know.
And there was something else that came out after Cliff's Notes. I think it was called Spark Notes.
Spark Notes. Yes.
Yes.
That's
Spark Notes came out after, but back when Cliff's Notes existed for me, it was a physical book that you went to the bookstore. It was yellow and black and you went and bought it and it was a paperback.
Wild.
Yeah. Golly, I feel old.
No, honestly, like it probably was around for me. I just don't really remember. I remember Spark Notes now that you say that, but.
Well, if you remember Spark Notes, then you definitely weren't around for the paperback version of Cliff's Notes because I never used Spark Notes because that was way after I graduated college.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Yeah, yeah, that's so funny because people are probably like that younger generation. They're like, oh, Cliff's Notes, that's so clever. She came up with. Well, it's funny because one of my skits that I did, so I will come up with character names from movies that I grew up watching or like shows I watched because it helps me remember like, oh, the mom's so-and-so, dad so-and-so. Because I'd call them by the wrong name. People would call me out. They'd be like, no, the sister was Ashley, not Anna or whatever. And so one day I did characters from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I just like, it was a movie I grew up watching all the time. And so I just grabbed Ferris and Sloan and I ended up changing the names later because it was like, I turned into a book and I was like, I don't want the same names. Anyway, so I made a video talking about how like, yeah, these names came from this movie. And all these people were like, what's that movie? And I was like, how old are you? This was like a staple in my house growing up.
Yes.
So it was just kind of funny. I was like, oh, I just assumed everyone knew that movie. But
yeah,
wrong on me.
Yeah, I grew up with like, I loved The Breakfast Club. I loved Dirty Dancing. But they think Dirty Dancing is that rough remake that came out. That
I've not even seen that one. I refuse to.
Don't waste your time.
Some of those that are remade, I'm just like, no, thank you. If they ever, I don't think they could remake Breakfast Club. That's another classic. Love that.
Yeah, I gave the second Dirty Dancing about 20 minutes of my time. And I said, I'm good.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
it was rough. It was rough.
Okay. So back to your channel and everything. So it kind of started, you said, like unexpectedly. Like, did you ever think you would become a viral creator that has this big platform? Or
I had no intentions of that. And I'll be honest with you, I still don't feel like I am. I'm in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And so Louisiana is a small state. It's funny. When I'm in parades, like I ride in the St. Patrick's Day parade every year and it never fails. Every time I'm on a float, like people are screaming from the street, like the Cliff Notes gal, to throw beads to them. And so many people say this and it pisses me off when they say it because like when they say I'm just an everyday person, I really am. And I try to be my page. I try and stay like me to the core. So I will tell stories in my pajamas. I will tell stories with rough ass hairdos. I don't wear makeup hardly ever. I don't really wear makeup much anyway. The only thing that you'll normally see on me is earrings and a necklace because I love jewelry. But I try and stay as real as possible because there are so many people that I used to follow and I'm so happy for them that their pages have grown. That's awesome for them, but I have slowly watched them change. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to become that. I want to still be the person when I did my first Cliff Notes. And I hope that my viewers still see that by comments. It sounds like they still do. I try and stay respectful with the stories that I do. But at the same time, it's weird having a platform because I do want to make sure that every so often a video that I do, I feel like I'm making a difference. It's a little draining to continue constantly doing things that are just stupid ass drama or things that are really, really, really intense and can affect people. Mm-hmm. It can be extremely draining because some of these stories take a long time. And I should have brought it with me. I have a notebook that it is thick as hell. And it's my second notebook because I take so many notes watching these stories. And then I refer to the notes when I'm retelling them and try to memorize as much as I can. Every so often, I'll have to use a teleprompter to remind me of notes that I need to discuss while I'm telling the story. But it's just weird. I'm still a normal person. I hope people see me that way because I don't ever want to come across as fake as hell out there.
Yeah. No, I totally understand what you're saying, though, because you do see some accounts that automatically change to like, let me show off what I own. Let me show you this. And I know you're just saying, like, I hate when people say that, but like, there's been a couple times where I've been out in my town and someone will be like, I love your videos. And they feel like almost like celebrity. They'll be like, oh, can I get a picture? Like, I love your videos. I'm your biggest fan. I'm like, I swear to God, I'm very normal. I have a toddler running around half the time. Half the time I'm wearing pajamas at home. I'm very weird mother. Just, I don't know. I'm just me.
That's awesome, though. Stay that way. So my husband and I, every year we go to a small town in Louisiana. It's called Minden, Louisiana. When I tell you it is the epitome of a Hallmark town. So it is the type of town to where it's the downtown is two main streets, but you've got like the cute little coffee shop where they roast their own beans and you've got a couple of restaurants and you've got a couple of shops. But it's like true Hallmark town. Well, we were down there for Christmas and I went into one of the clothing shops, which is like a thrift shop. It's called Purvey. It's owned by a woman named Sarah, who is from Minden, I believe born, raised, and her mission is to take like dilapidated homes and buildings and bring them back to like life. Mm-hmm. And she's done an amazing job. And so we went down there, we stayed in one of her cottages that was absolutely gorgeous. It inspired my background. The room that we stayed in at her cottage had this beautiful floral background. So that's the reason why I got this. But anyway, we went to Purvey. We were shopping in there and I was looking at the record collection that they had. And this woman tapped me and she was like, are you the Cliff Notes gal? And I was like, I am. And so we chatted for a few minutes and then she went to go leave and she was like, it's so nice to meet you. I was like, it's awesome to meet you too. Like, I hope you'll have a Merry Christmas. And then her husband is like, well, wait, babe, don't you want to get a picture with her? And she was like, no, I don't want to ask her for that. I don't want to ask her. It's like, no, we can take a picture. So I could tell like she wanted to, but so I'm so glad that her husband said something because I tell people will leave stuff in the comments like, oh my gosh, I saw you at such and such in town. And I'm like, y'all come say hello. Don't come attack me, but like, come say hello. We're from the South. Like, I am so happy to say hello. And I mean, I've had people that like, we've been out to dinner at a restaurant and they have been so absolutely polite. It was another young couple that came up to us while I was at the table and they were super polite. I think that there is a polite way to address people and there is a non-polite way. Just be polite. And I'm super happy to like say hello and chat and take pictures or whatever. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, no, definitely. I feel like that's the beauty of social media and storytelling is the connection that you can make. And I've met so many amazing people. And just like through doing this podcast, because like I was just saying, I'm like, most of the time I'm with my husband and my daughter and we just do our own thing. I work from home. So it's like, this is a great way to like meet other people because like I don't go to a regular office and all that stuff. But I love that. It's cool. The connections you can make of people all over. And obviously you're making an impact because people are feel like they know you in some way to be able to like go up and say hello. So that's awesome.
I appreciate it.
Okay. So it kind of started off where you were like, these videos are taking so long, so I'm going to make them shorter, right? So how do you now select which videos to do and how do you know they're going to be worth your while? Or do you watch some and you're like, I don't even know if it's worth it? Or do you get tagged in a lot of videos? Like, how do you select those?
So I am super, super thankful to the followers because I wouldn't find any of these stories if it weren't for them. My entire FYP on TikTok is animals and sourdough bread. That's about it. That's about it. And so I'm typically not scrolling and seeing, I don't see any of this stuff on my FYP. So I wake up in the mornings, kind of like what my routine is. I'll wake up in the mornings and I'll scroll in the mornings before I start my actual real job, and I'll see how many tags I've got. Majority of the mornings, it's about anywhere from 100 to 200 tags, most mornings. If I wake up and there's only a short few, I can typically scroll through and watch a few seconds of the tags to figure out which video I want to do. If there's a lot of them, I actually wait until that night and I will have to scroll the hundreds of tags. Mm-hmm. If there is a certain video that I find I'm being tagged in more, that's normally the one that I will settle on. And then I just put in my headphones and I sit in bed and I write notes for however long it takes me to get through all the parts. I will do it in one night. So then it's fresh. I will then type out the notes that I want to talk about. And then every day I film or record outside after I finish my day job. I normally do it around like 6 or 7 o'clock while the sun is still up. And I give myself 2 takes. That is it. It again comes back to me, like I try to be as real as possible. So when I F up in a video, I talk over myself a lot and I mess up words. I don't go back and re-record because I ain't got time for that.
Yeah. Like, I love that you do.
I'm a mom as well. So if I F'd up on it, you're going to see me F up on it.
Yes. I need to get better at that. I love that you do that because, like, I don't know if it's like from working in social media marketing, I'm always like overthinking how I sound. Plus people are so like critical in comments sometimes that I'm like, oh, did I pronounce that word wrong or whatever? But like, I think people love to see real like that. I was talking to someone recently and I'm like, people don't like the over performance anymore. They're so turned off by it. They want real people with real
perfection.
Content.
These is so fake. It is so fake. Again, I don't need to have perfect hair. Some videos, if you go and scroll back on my videos, you will see I didn't even brush my hair. Literally didn't brush my hair. I threw it in a ponytail because the notes were like fresh in my brain. And I was like, I'm just going to go hurry up and record it right now. Perfection doesn't happen. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. So I would highly encourage you, you don't need to fix it. If you messed up on the word, so be it. If you like trampled over your words and messed up on them, still use it. I mean, I'd rather see someone being more real than having to cut something out because it wasn't perfect. Then you re-recorded it and you put it back in there, but then I can tell it's a cut because you went to the next part.
Right.
Yeah, there's too many people trying too hard. And the thing is the viewers can tell. They're not stupid. They can tell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, too, it's like that. I feel like it was like pre-TikTok, that like Instagram of like the perfect photos, crisp and clean and editing them. And then people just realize like most of us don't have time for that. We're busy. We're running to work. We're taking care of kids, dogs, whatever it is. And it's like, we don't have time to like make everything crisp and clean. And it's more relatable too. I feel like when I see someone that's just like jumped on their bed and they're like, hey, and they just start talking, I'm like, I'm so much more intrigued. I'm like, we're friends hanging out.
Talk to me like we're on FaceTime. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be more intrigued listening to your video than if you just sat there to just be a robot.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that like some people are like that with brand deals, which I mean, oh, I don't know if I can cuss on your podcast. Sorry.
Oh, you're fine.
I'm like, get the bag. Definitely get the bag. But at the same time, don't get the bag for something that you wouldn't actually use. There are a lot of creators out there. And especially I find with like facial products or even like shampoos or conditioners or something. If you're going to review a product, I need you to truly, truly use it. Like really, really, really use it. Don't tell me you used it for 2 weeks and then it's the most amazing thing that you used. When for whatever product that is, you know damn well, it would take a good like 3 to 6 months of you using that product to see it like in action.
Yes. Because too, I find that when people are so inauthentic, then it makes people that are authentic like harder to come across. I don't know if that makes sense.
I totally understand what you're saying. Yes.
Because I've had people, I'm very selective. And I remember this brand that I actually used in my own wedding, Birdie Gray. Obviously not sponsored. I use them in my own wedding. I've worn them for many bridesmaids' dresses. And I was stoked when they like actually wanted to work with me. Cause I was like, I've used this. I've worn their dresses like 3 or 4 times now. And there were comments like, oh my gosh, another ad. And I'm like, no, like legitimately, I love them. And meanwhile, I say no to like, someone asked about like a dog prop. I don't have a dog. Why would I do that? Or like, I've never heard of this brand before. Why am I going to say yes to that? And I think it makes people then untrustworthy because they're like, oh, well, I saw this girl talk about this product I know she doesn't use. So it's,
yeah. My people receive emails all the time for brands and they'll forward them to me. And I'm like, why? Why do they feel like the Cliff Notes gal would be good to promote a treadmill? What did you get from my page that talks fitness? Nothing. Like, nothing at all. And then I had one the other day for like a weight loss app. And I was like, when have I ever spoken? Like, you don't know my page. Clearly, you don't know my page. You saw the number of followers and you thought, hey, let's see if she'll do something. Yeah. Not going to work.
That was like, I remember I used to watch Bachelorette years ago. I haven't watched in many, many years, but I remember as soon as the Bachelorette or whatever would get off their season, they'd do like the waist trimmer and this. And I'm like, I know you did not wear a waist trimmer before getting on the episode. I just know you didn't. And they talk about the tummy teas and all this. Oh, I always drink my tummy tea. And I'm like, did you really? And it was just so inauthentic because they immediately got off the show and they have all these deals for these things. And I'm like, these are all about weight loss and working out and all this. And I'm just like, I don't buy it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm like, and I love that like they have these opportunities to make money. I really do. Because I mean, at the end of the day, them doing what they're doing, it's a job. They are out there to make some money. But I think that there's a line that you have to choose if you want to cross. And a lot of people do cross it. I'm not one of those. People consistently ask me about face stuff. And I have told them I have used the same products. I've never switched since before. No, I think it was around COVID. Fittish is all I use. And it was started by someone. Her name's Jenna. She was a DJ on a really, really popular show called Kid Craddock. I don't know if you've ever heard of Kid Craddock in the Morning. It's a syndicated radio show. It was when radio shows were extremely, extremely popular, like the morning shows. And I would listen every single day. And I started listening to that show when I was probably like 10 years old. Well, she realized that there was a miss in, I guess, facial world, makeup industry, whatever you want to say, not makeup, but rosacea and like all of that stuff was happening, redness in the skin and acne and all of that. And she realized there wasn't anything with CBD in it. And so I had always had really bad rosacea on my face. And I liked the radio show. So I was like, you know what? Let me try it. And so she was kind of doing both things, kicking off the company and then doing the radio show. And so I bought just the lotion and I was like, let me see what this does. Girl, when I tell you within like a week, I was not having any reds on my face anymore. It just took a week. And so from there, every single time this woman comes out with something new, I buy it right off the bat. So I've done a video before. Like if I show off my entire Fittish skin line, it's everything. It's lotions and soaps and serums and everything. So again, like anyone reaching out to me to promote makeup or facial stuff, I'm like, no, because I know what works and I'm an actual customer and can show proof of the thousands of dollars I've probably spent with them over the years. And again, if you're going to tell me a lotion works, you're going to say you got it from the TikTok shop 2 weeks ago. That's you can't tell me it works in 2 weeks.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That's so funny. I was saying too, like with working in marketing too, I think I can like read between the lines with little people. My husband gets pulled into marketing things sometimes. He'll be like, oh, well, it's half off. And I'm like, well, what was the price last week? You know, I'm like, I can see that kind of stuff. It's kind of funny to notice that. If you're able to, with this growth, stay like true to you and share these stories, I feel like it is obviously making an impact and people are liking. Because like I said, the first time I came across your page, I was like, oh, this is saving me so much time because like, I don't have time to sit and watch these long things. But then if you like miss out on some of the drama, you're like, that's what everybody's talking about. So what's going on in the TikTok world? Yeah. Is there anything going on right now that's popping in your head? I'm trying to think if there's like a current TikTok drama.
Oh gosh.
Spot. I just was like.
The most recent video that I did, I think was about a girl who went and tried on a dress at a boutique for a prom dress, but she actually only came out with her story time because another person posted a video recording because they overheard what was going on in the dressing room next to them. And so they pressed record, recording the conversation in the dressing room next to them. And it was allegedly, it was the owner of the store kind of like belittling a 17-year-old girl who was trying on a dress. It was a couture dress. And the owner was telling her, you're too big for it. I don't want you to put it on and ruin my dress. And so that recording came out and that was out for quite a few days. And I guess the girl finally was like, well, I guess I need to say like, hey, this was me. And now a ton of stuff has come about with this owner. There was I was tagged in another story time before you and I got on this podcast. I'm tagged in another story time about the same store. And this is another girl. This is a woman telling a story now. I think she said she was 35. She had the exact same type of issue at that store and dealt with the owner. So I haven't watched her video the full way through, but I get a wide variety of tags from stories like that to breakup drama to really, really intense things that are triggering. And I've told people plenty of times, and I appreciate the tags, but there are stories that I just will not shorten. Ones that I feel like are extremely traumatic to the person telling the story. There was one I was tagged in recently about a woman who was pregnant, and I think like her husband tried to like her, and his girlfriend was trying to help unalive her. And I was like, whoa,
oh gosh.
I wanted to be like, why are you even tagging me in this? And so I responded to the tag and I was like, this is extremely traumatic for the person who posted this. I will not be doing this story. And I let people know that, like, if it is a really, truly traumatic story for someone, please don't tag me in it, because I'm not taking that story from them. They're probably using this story time as a way of healing for themselves. Yeah. Like, I'm not taking that. I also will not do and typically don't do stories that deal with SA, because I'm a survivor myself and I'm a childhood SA survivor. So I had some traumatic things happen to me when I was 12 and 13 years old, but of course it's still like very much real and it affects me. And so anytime there is a story that deals with SA or physical abuse, domestic violence, I typically will not do those either. So yeah, I try and focus on the ones that are more lighthearted. And sometimes I get tagged on stories. People want me to shorten their own stories because they're like, look, I've got 5 videos out here. It's not being pushed out. I really want to get my story out, but I'm not good at telling a story. And they actually ask me to do cliff notes for their stories. Wow. And so when that happens, I try and do that. And then I try and stay respectful. TikTok has this thing called duets and stitches.
Mm-hmm.
If their duets or stitches are on, I'm under the assumption that they're okay with this video being shared or being talked about or whatever the case. And so those are stories, if I'm tagged in them and I'm interested in doing it, if their duets or stitches are on, I will consider doing that story. If they are off, then I will comment on the person who tagged me and I will tell them that I'm not doing it because their duets and stitches are off. Mm-hmm. So I make sure I have a pinned video on my page that says, like, I will only do ones with duets and stitches on, because there are a lot of pages out there that are gossip pages. They could give two about if your duets and stitches are on. When you put a video out there, it's out there.
Yeah. It's wild how quickly things travel to, or how quickly things might go viral. I'll notice something. I'm trying to think of what I've seen. I mean, the different accounts I follow where maybe someone was really rude at a store and before you know it, that person's face is everywhere, that Karen or whatever you want to call them. And I'm like, oh my gosh, the same day you'll see them on 5 accounts. And I'm like, they take their video down, but I'm like, you put out into the abyss. It's everywhere now. So it's wild how something will get picked up and it's just like, that was the thing. I mean, it just got on the right person's FYP or whatever, and they just shared it, or someone saw it and they're like, I need to talk about this. Because that's the power of social media, I guess.
It really is. And I mean, these apps are global. So it might not kick off in the US. Like, I have followers that tag me from other countries. And it's crazy because sometimes there's a really extremely viral video in Canada. And all of the tags are from Canadians and in Canada. And so when I'll do whatever story, then it comes back and people are commenting in the US, like, this hasn't been on my FYP. I'm like, well, because it's in Canada, but it's still a good story. Like,
yeah, I had Lucette, who's on my podcast, and she's in Australia. And as soon as I had her, then I started getting some more like videos from Australia on my feed. But it's like, until then, I was like, not. And now I'm like, oh, now I'm kind of in here a little bit, because it kind of sees me like commenting on her stuff. I don't know what it is. But yeah, it's like, you don't necessarily think about that. But that's one of the reasons too. Like, I don't put my child on social media at all, because I'm like, I don't ever want someone to take her face, or especially she's so little. And I'm like, she can't consent to it. And just people don't think when they put their kids on social media, how quickly someone can grab that. Like they might be like, oh, this is such a cute moment. Post it. Someone can take that and be like, this is weird that this happened. Or look at this in the background. And then their kid is everywhere then.
My kid is not in my videos. And if he is, it is completely his decision. And I do not allow his face to be seen. So if you ever see him in a video, he is so far in the background that his face is a blur, but he's back there in the background doing something funny that he has decided to come up with, or he's in a mask. So yeah. His face has never been on my social media. It never will. Even when he is not a minor, it still won't be. But anytime he is in one, it is because he wants to be and he has asked me to be. And he just likes being a little silly goofball in the background. And my husband has done a couple with them as well. Like I remember I did one, I think it was a few months ago, and I was in the backyard, of course, telling the story like I normally am. And they're both in the background sword fighting, I think. And so my son had a sword, but my husband, I think, was using like a broom. And then he fake stabbed him. And my son like fell to the ground and then stayed dead the rest of the video. And so commenters are just like, did anyone see the sword fight back there? Like,
but I love that because actually, I think one of my first videos I saw of you, he was in the background with the mask. Because I was like, what's happening here? And then looking in the comments and everyone's like, what's going on? But that's like the same with Get Ready With Me videos when people are telling a story. People love watching and listening. And I feel like there's some kind of like correspondence with like, I don't know, maybe some kind of fancy word for like a study of like people love being able to see and listen at the same time. And so if there's something going on, I feel like it grabs their attention too.
So I don't have ADD or ADHD, but I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of comments from people saying that them either seeing the gherkin catching the ball or seeing my son in the background playing, that it helps them focus more. They all say they have ADD brain and being able to see gherkin catching a ball while listening to me actually helps them. And it's one of the reasons why they can't listen to the story times is because it's someone just looking at a camera telling the story for 30 minutes. So when they can get like a small recap of it and there's also something going on in the background, they're able to absorb the information better.
I love that. That makes so much sense. I'm not diagnosed, but I'm pretty sure I've got one of those.
I would never be able to watch a dog catching a ball and focus on a story because I would just want to keep watching the dog. I can't understand that, but.
Oh, I'm like, if there's two things going on, I will like then go back and be like, wait, what did she do with her makeup there? What did she do with her eyes there? Or I'll kind of go back. But yeah, I think that's probably why I started doing skits because I'm like, I need to tell these stories in like an interesting, different kind of storytelling way. But
yeah,
stories nonetheless. Before we get to our main story, I know you said you have a wedding related story that happened at your own wedding. So do you want to
tell me? Yes. This year, I will be married 19 years to my husband.
Awesome.
He and I got married, a long time ago. But so I'm a diabetic and we got married at the worst time ever in the state of Louisiana. We got married in the summertime in June with an outdoor wedding.
Oh my God.
I don't recommend to anybody to do that. I ate well before the wedding to manage my sugar levels. So that was great. But while we were up there saying our vows, we were holding hands and I looked down at our hands and realized that our four hands turned into like 20 and I was seeing quadruple of everything.
Oh.
And so I looked up as our pastor was talking, like marrying us literally. And I looked up at him and I went, I think I'm about to pass out. And then that was all that I remembered. So I know what happens because it's on video, but I did. So I pass out. And I remember my maid of honor, who is still my absolute best friend today, in the video, it shows her telling my husband, you need to pick her up and walk off with her. Like she's passed out because he was just frozen.
Like, what happened?
And so, because like he caught me, like I fell and he caught me and is just holding me. And so my friend Lauren's like, you need to go with her, like get her out of here. And so it's all on video. He carries me out and I think brings me to the bridal suite where we were getting married and they woke me up somehow, but my sugar level had dropped really, really, really low. That mixed with like the heat and being nervous and all of that. So they got me some food and all of that. And then everything else was a blur that night. I do not remember my first dance with my husband. I definitely don't remember saying my vows. I do remember signing the actual marriage certificate itself. But I joke with my husband. I'm like, babe, we're going to have to renew our vows like at 20 years because I don't remember saying them to you. And so I would I would like to remember saying my vows to you. But yeah, so
we didn't hold you over.
Yeah, had the typical like pass out at your wedding story.
Oh my gosh, that's one I have not heard. I love that you guys have it on video and you're like, well, let's watch our video this year.
And it's on VHS. So now I don't even own a tape player. So I need to do that little thing where you can have it sent in and turned into like a DVD or something. But
yeah. Oh my gosh, that's wild. So even after your blood sugar went up, then you were still just kind of like in a daze the rest of the day.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And anyone who's a diabetic would understand, like, you're just so, it's like, it's brain fog. And so I know I danced. I just don't remember it. And I remember sitting down and eating some food at like our table for the wedding party. But, I remember this as well. When we left, so we had a limo bring us to New Orleans because we were going to fly out the next day to go to Mexico for our honeymoon. I had a pulsating migraine because, again, a diabetic will understand, like, when you go extremely low and you have to get your sugar levels back up, you just don't feel good. It takes a while for you to be able to just feel good. And I had this horrible, horrible migraine. And so we had the limo get off the interstate and pull into this like shady ass gas station and pulls up. There were not a lot of lights on at this gas station. My husband gets out in his tux and goes in and buys like one of the gas station packs of Excedrin migraine for me and then comes back into the limo and gives it to me. And I slept the whole way to New Orleans in the limo. And then by the time we got to the hotel, I felt better. But yeah, I literally slept the whole way to New Orleans, which is about like a 50-minute drive.
Oh my gosh. So how was your honeymoon? Like, did you feel
better?
It
was good. I remember that.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, there you go.
It was good. It was fun. Yeah. It was the typical, like, all-inclusive. Like, we couldn't afford a lot back then. Like, we were in very, very different lives back then. But we did what we could and had so much fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I love the all-inclusive route. That just makes it easier, too, for planning and budget. We did that too. It was
so easy. Yeah. I tell everyone, I'm like, I wish we would have just eloped.
Mm.
The amount of money that my mom, who raised me as a single mom, that she had to spend. And we stayed under budget, like extremely under budget. But I was like, to this day, I think back, I'm like, I wish I would have just told her, don't even worry about it.
Mm. I feel like as older I get too, people like looking back, your circle kind of gets smaller. And you're also just like, it'd be easier. Because the people too that spent all this money on these big parties, I feel like a lot of times it's because like families want to be a part of it, or then a lot of these stories, as you might see in this one, but like then it just creates drama in a lot of these families. I always say my husband and I got married in our early 30s, but we've been together since like our early 20s. And I was like, if we got married in our 20s, I think it'd been such a weight. We would have way less money, but I feel like we would have tried to have a bigger party and invite more people. So I feel like we were able to like, okay, these are more important people to us, but
older and wiser.
Yeah. But I feel like if it was like 10 more years later, I think it would have been even smaller. I think you just kind of like realize like, okay, who's been around a little bit longer? And
that's right.
Plus there's been some amazing elopement stories I've heard where they go to like Paris or they go to, you know, somewhere cool and you spend the same amount or less for a week trip or whatever.
Then have like a little party in your backyard when you get back and that's your reception.
Yeah, exactly. Lots of options.
Yeah.
Hey, drama lovers, big news. My book, Here Comes the Drama, A Ferris and Sloan Story, is officially out now. If you've been following their wild wedding saga online, this is the full story, packed with messy twists, sharp banter, family chaos, and all the heart you've come to love. And judging by your messages and posts, you're loving it too. Huge thanks to everyone who's already grabbed a copy early and shared it on social media. Your support means everything. If you haven't read it yet, now is the time. Head to KristaEnnis.com/book or click the link in the show notes. It's available in both print and ebook. Grab your copy before the spoilers start showing up in the comment sections, because trust me, you'll want to experience every jaw-dropping moment for yourself.
All right, let's get into this week's story submission. So these are stories that are sent to me from followers. And I've not read it, so let's get into it. Feel free to stop me at any time and we'll react. Okay, here we go. My sister is a narcissist, and honestly, my mother might be too. To surprise me, my fiance messaged my mother to ask for my ring size and for my dad's blessing. My mother went out and bought a ring herself and told him that my father was happy for him to move forward, like a business exchange. No, we don't want your input. We'll just buy the ring.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yikes. 2 weeks later, we flew to Luxembourg to visit my parents at their holiday home. On the second day, my fiance asked my mom for the ring, so she knew he planned to propose that day. We told her we were going to the waterfall and would be back later. I had no idea what was coming. The moment he proposed, my mother suddenly showed up with her friends and my father, all cheering. The quiet, romantic moment my fiance had planned was completely gone. That evening, he told me to get ready for dinner, but before we could leave, my mother stopped us. She had already set up a surprise engagement party with her friends and champagne.
Come on, Mom.
Why would you not even think to like talk to the fiance?
Because Mom only cares about the way that she looks to her friends.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. She's like calling her friends like, just wait, we're gonna have the best party. A full-blown argument broke out, but we ended up canceling our dinner plans and attending the party. So now it's like not even for you, it's for your mom.
Right.
After the guests left, we started talking about wedding locations. When I mentioned Hawaii, another fight erupted. They said they could never afford it. The night ended badly, and the next day we barely spoke. After 2 days of silence, we decided to travel with them to Belgium, where I grew up, to share the news with friends. My brother and sister were happy at first, but within 2 weeks, my sister started trying to seduce my fiance. What is okay, this family?
What's up with the family now? Now I'm like,
this is very odd. This is
this a real story.
I tell you, sometimes I read these stories and I'm like, this cannot be real.
Oh my gosh.
Some are just outrageous. But then I'll post a story or like I'll share, you know, story time and people are like, this happened to me. This exact thing happened to me. And I'm like, I don't think they're as, I think they're more common than we think. It's wild. Telling him that she was the better option. We ended up staying for a month. I'd be out of there. A month still after
that. A month? Do they not work?
I know they're doing all this traveling, but then the mom was mad that they
weren't. Not enough money for Hawaii.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Not enough because it wasn't a place she selected as a wedding.
Right.
We ended up staying for a month because my mother promised to pay for the wedding dress and booked appointments at bridal shops. I said I didn't want to bring my sister, but I was manipulated into it with the whole family is family guilt trip. Yikes. At the first shop, the saleswoman told me my body wasn't made for fitted dresses. Oh my gosh. After trying on 10 dresses I hated and hearing nonstop comments from my sister and mother about how I looked fat, why I would not be including, well, either of them.
That's just toxic. You don't even, they shouldn't even be in the wedding.
No.
Or at the wedding.
This is definitely a story where, I mean, I don't know what happens, but where it'd be like, let's just elope. Where does your family want to go?
I would hope that the husband is saying like, look, babe, let's just go do this thing with just us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The second someone starts making you feel bad, especially when it's supposed to be like your day, trying on dresses, feeling beautiful, I'd be like, I'm done with this. I'll go with a friend or go by myself later.
100%.
They were saying, or I showed too much skin or looked bad. I finally said I wanted to leave. At the second shop, I found my dress within minutes and started crying. My father seemed completely unbothered and asked how I planned to pay for it. I was confused, and that's when my mother said they don't have the 690 euro after all. So they get her excited, say they're going to pay for the dress. She finds when they're like, oh, we don't have the money for it. And I wonder, in 690, I mean, I'm trying to think of like the calculation, but that doesn't seem very expensive for a dress, 690 euros. Because I think it's like...
I don't know what the conversion rate is right now.
I feel like it was pretty close. Like when I was just in, I was in Spain a couple years ago. And
yeah, I mean, it seems like the price of like an average, I mean, I think my wedding dress back then was like $400, $500, something like that. But man, this is just toxic.
Yeah, wild. She says, I ran out of the shop crying and went to the cafe where my fiance was waiting. I told him everything. Without hesitation, he marched into the store, bought the dress without seeing it, booked us a hotel, and said we'd figure out everything ourselves.
Love it. Good husband.
Good man.
Good husband.
2 days later, we returned to my parents' house and my mother exploded. She was angry that we bought the dress without telling her and said it was unfair because they never had a big wedding. So she's now trying to control it because they didn't have the wedding they wanted or something. She also claimed my father never gave his blessing. My father agreed with her and said he could never trust anyone with his beloved daughter. A massive fight broke out and we ended up flying home. Once we were home, everyone there was happy for us. But my heart was breaking because my own family didn't accept us. In January, my mom finally called and said she needed the wedding date and location so she could book time off or they wouldn't come at all. My father is still refusing. Wait, so this is happening right now? She said my father.
I was about to say, like, this is now.
I was, because sometimes people will like send a story and then they'll be like, oh, that was 20 years ago. We're happily married.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure. But yeah, it says my father is still refusing to walk me down the aisle if we have a wedding weekend. That's the short version of part one. I'll write a part two when you're ready.
Wait, I want to know if the wedding happened yet.
I know. I need to find out.
And where are they located? Are they like in the U.S.?
I'm wondering if they're in the U.S. and then they traveled. They traveled to Belgium where they bought the dress.
Damn. If old girl is like anywhere near me within driving distance, she needs to invite me to the wedding and I will be there in a heartbeat and I will make sure her reception is a blast.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that'd be so fun. We're like, we're coming to your wedding.
Yes. Yeah, I want to know if it happened. Wild. Yeah, okay. You need the part two.
Yes, I know. I was not expecting it for it to end like that. I feel like I like the way this is going in the way that her boundaries have been really good. Like her boundaries are firm. Her fiance is backing her up because I feel like in a lot of these stories, we don't hear about the fiance or how he's like supporting his wife, whether it's a mother-in-law or not. And so I feel like it's really good that she has him. And so I'm hoping like they stick firm on their boundaries and either like, and the mom's calling like, okay, when's the date? This is their chance to be like,
no,
you know, we're not going to give you the date.
No.
Or do our own thing.
No. This sounds like, as much as it sucks, mom and dad, it doesn't seem like it's beneficial to have them in your adult life right now.
Mm-hmm.
It does not seem like there is anything positive that is coming from that relationship. And if there is not, and this is for friendships too, like if it's not positive and bringing you joy, then why have it?
Mm-hmm.
That's why people write off their parents sometimes.
Yeah. And anyone that's like family is family or blood is thicker than water.
No.
I think they're using that as like a manipulative tactic because obviously they could tell that she's like, this isn't right. This isn't how family should treat me. And so they're going to try to manipulate you. And that's why people stay in like toxic family relationships for so long because they're like, well, it is family. Okay. But no one deserves to be treated that way, especially like when she's so happy. And
yeah, I mean, it would be different if they're like, look, we don't want you getting married because this man is horrible for you and does like horrible things. But it's not sound like that's the case, or at least we haven't heard that. I am so glad that he stepped up and did something, though, because you hear stories, like all the time. But normally it's the spouse's parent acts a certain way towards the bride and the spouse never stands up for his bride.
Yeah.
So this is even more impressive that he's standing up for her against his own in-laws or future in-laws.
Yes. No, that's such a good point. Because I would say like 75% of the stories I get where it's like a bride and her mother-in-law, there's no mention of the fiance in the story. So right. Like when I like act them out as skits, I kind of just will like put him in there. And sometimes, but when I actually read the story, I'm like, guys, I don't know where he's at in this. It's no mention. Like mother-in-laws will corner the bride and they'll all these things will happen. And so my advice to those brides is always he needs to be the one to, to talk to the mom and address her. So yeah, the fact that he's like creating a blockade to her own family, I think is really showing a healthy like boundary that they're setting.
I agree.
Yeah. What advice would you give her at this point about mom calling?
Well, I feel like I have to be limited on the advice to provide because I don't know the rest of the story. If it were me, which it's hard and would take a lot of courage, if that was my parents acting that way, they wouldn't be going to the wedding.
Yeah.
I don't need that at my wedding at all. And I say this because a family member of mine who her spouse's family was not super accepting of her because she was not able to have children. Mm-hmm. And his family wanted him to have children of his own. And she already had two children from a prior marriage. they treated her like absolute crap. And at their wedding, the best man was the groom's brother, and he was supposed to do the whole, I think, catch the garter or help take the garter off or whatever it is. Like the groom takes the garter off. I don't know if that's a Southern thing, but the best man is there. And then there's like a dance with the best man. Well, when the announcement came on for the DJ saying like, hey, bride and best man, and then groom and maid of honor come out to the dance floor, best man stood her up, didn't go on the dance floor to dance with her. And then they left. Why do you want people like that at your wedding? Now, granted, she didn't know this was going to happen at their wedding. Like if she would have known that, she would have said, I don't want them coming. But that's what you lead yourself to happen. You have someone toxic like that. If you break down and tell them, hey, here's the date, they're going to try and find a way to make that wedding about themselves.
Yep.
Because they've not proven otherwise. So don't even have them there. That's my advice. They don't need to be there. They haven't proven that they're worthy enough to be there.
Totally. I think it's like we want to continually give chances, especially for family or people we've known for a long time. But like the way she started out the story was saying like, my mom's a narcissist and I'm pretty sure my sister is too, or whatever order it was. You have that gut feeling like, oh, someone's going to wreck my day. And you don't want to go into your wedding day. You want to go into your wedding day and be like, oh, my favorite people are here. I'm so excited. I'm a princess or whatever, you know, your vibe is. But you know that gut feeling just in general of like, if you're going somewhere where maybe you don't get along with someone or there's drama, that like feeling where like something's going to happen and you don't want that on that day. So I completely agree with you. It's like, you need to be firm with your boundaries now. And maybe it's a time to elope and take a fun trip with your fiance.
That's
don't let them hang money over your head.
People that use weddings and the attendees as like a business transaction. Oh, well, they know my dad because they worked with him 20 years ago. So I need to invite them. No, you don't.
Yeah.
No, you don't. If they're not in your life right now, do they know your date of birth?
Right.
If they don't know your birthday, they don't need to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. I feel so lucky that I didn't have parents come in and be like, here's my coworkers I want to invite to the wedding. Like I was like, you tell me your close friends that you want to come to the wedding. That's totally fine. But I hear stories where it's literally like someone they met as a baby and they're like, haven't seen them in the last 25 years. And their mom's like, here, invite Susan from 20 years ago. And they're like, I have no relationship with them. Mm-hmm. And then they'll get mad because they're like, well, why would you let me invite my friends? But yeah.
Well, and then the threat comes out. Oh, well, I'm paying for the wedding. So you need to invite them. I'm paying for it.
Yeah.
Thanks for the threat.
And that's where I'm confused with these people too. Cause it's like, oh, they say we can't afford Hawaii. So are they assuming that they're supposed to pay for it? But now they're saying they can't pay for the dress. So they sound like they're just going to try to hold money over your head.
Yeah, I want to hear part two.
Yeah, I'm going to reach out to her and see if we can get a part two. All right. I always like to end these with some confessions that people send me on Instagram. So let's read these. These are, what's a decision you regret not speaking up about? This person says, my in-laws were inviting people behind our backs to our wedding. They didn't say anything. That's hard. I had an etiquette expert on here a while back and I asked her like, what you do in that situation. And she's like, it's hard when someone's already invited because you don't know like what they were told and like how to contact them. And so that like adds a whole new layer of like complication because it's like, if you just show up on the wedding day.
Right. I mean, again, weddings can happen in a totally different way now, but I'm used to like you send the card in the mail, they RSVP and send it back. And that's how you check off how many people are going to be in attendance because you have to provide those numbers and you get charged per head. I don't know if that's still the same case, but like if people are being invited behind the scenes and they're not included in that head count, don't you pay more per head if they're not in the original numbers?
Yeah, probably. They'll probably see that there's more people there. And yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all the same. Like sometimes it's more digital now, but other than that, they're still counting it the same way. And that tells me that there's someone that hasn't hosted an event before or been a part of it to know like you can't have extra people.
Yeah.
This says inviting some people I wanted and went with a smaller venue instead. I'm talking about garter, the whole garter thing. I didn't want it at all, but I kept getting told it was tradition.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I didn't do it at my wedding. I was like,
that person must be from the South.
I mean, I feel like they do them out here, but like most weddings I've been to in recent times, I haven't seen it. But I feel like it's like maybe more religious weddings. I don't know.
Where are you at?
I'm in Wisconsin.
Okay. Do y'all do money dances as well? Because we do money dances.
I've been to a couple weddings, but it's not like very common.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We do two different types of money dance. Either you have like a little sash as the bride and the money is put into the sash, or you carry around a boot and money gets put into a boot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know there's so many like interesting traditions. I think the one time I saw the wedding dance was like maybe going on 10 years ago now. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Okay.
All right, I'll do two more. Letting my dad bring his girlfriend, who was his mistress, because I feared he wouldn't come. He left early anyway.
Oh.
That's one of those gut things, right? Like, you want it to work because you want your dad there, but...
But was your mom is still married to him? So he...
That's where I'm like, I don't...
Isn't a mistress, you're still married, and your mistress is, like, who you're cheating on your wife with, right?
Yeah, unless she meet... Well, yeah. I'm guessing it could be, like, they're now divorced, but that's the one he cheated on, which either way, that's awkward. If your mom's there...
Yeah, it's weird.
I would be like, don't come.
Yeah, yeah.
Not telling my brother to end his relationship earlier. Love his ex, but they were not compatible. Okay. I guess that's not wedding related, but that's that's just a regret. People are just confessing to me. All right. Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. That was
a fun story.
Can you tell everyone where they can find your content, follow you for more cliff notes, and learn more about you? Anything fun you're working on?
Yeah. So you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, which I don't post a lot on there, but all of them, the handle is the Cliff Notes Gal. And I just ask followers, keep bringing me the stories, tag me in anything that you need shortened, and I'll shorten them up for y'all.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Here Comes the Drama. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate, review, and share it with a friend who loves a good story. And make sure you're following me on all socials at Hey Krista Innes for even more stories, skits, and a little extra drama. Until next time, protect your peace, and I'll see you soon. Bye now.
You ever get the feeling the city walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating your soul? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe chase some elk, fish a private stream. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there, and finding your own piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forest, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, location, the kind of hunting or fishing you dream of. Land.com. It's where the adventure begins.
Real value shows up in reliability. You don't have to second guess. Like a set of Firestone all-season tires. They're designed to deliver confidence-inspiring wet weather traction and a quieter ride, no matter the road, season after season. Firestone all-season tires. For durability, you can count on. Just like people count on you. Firestone. Always dependable. Since 1900.
Looking for your next thrifting experience? Check out the new Goodwill Columbus location in Westerville. Our new store is full of the latest secondhand selections with options rotating daily. From warm weather clothes to home decor, you may find your new favorite items just in time for spring. Each purchase helps us create opportunities throughout Central Ohio. It's shopping that looks good, feels good, and does good. Come shop at 60 East Schrock Road or learn more at goodwillcolumbus.org.